entering into 2 Peter 3 this morning, 2 Peter 3, 1 through 2. So you can turn there, electronic device or a paper Bible. I'm going to be covering a lot of scriptures because it's about remembering and reminder. So you might not want to try to marathon your way around the Bible, just take in the sermon. It's always going to be online, typically is online. And we are coming into a chapter that's famous for end times teaching. And I do plan on doing a thorough end times series in the future. It's going to take a lot of preparation. But right now, I want to cover something of great importance in these first two verses. And it has to do with an our times teaching. Okay, your time all the time. The Lord commands us to act a certain way. And it's not a suggestion. It's not an alternate route for you to choose from a menu of ways. It is a command for you to do, for me to do, us. And it's the biggest commandment that you are directed to remember and obey from God. And Peter mentions it in the first two verses. I'm going to read it now. Peter said, "This is now, beloved, this is now, loved ones, the second letter I'm writing to you in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles." Prepare your heart for this sermon. Remember the Lord's commandment for all you do. Let's pray. Father, I'm just so grateful for your word, your love. As we sang this morning, it's overwhelming. And I'm thanking you that this is the subject this morning and that you would bless us with this sermon to live the love that we remember. In Jesus' name, amen. So Peter is stirring up reminders of the most important things. And even though seasoned Christians already know them, the Lord thinks you need to be reminded of them for your thinking and for your actions. And God, he knows it's easy for you to forget. And he also knows that you can ignore what you know. That happens all the time. There are ways. Something about us humans, there are ways that we can neglect bringing things to mind to dictate our actions. And so the Spirit is speaking to your sincere mind. Our need, your need, my need is to listen to this memory nudge that's coming from the Apostle Peter. The Greek word that some translators put sincere for stirring up your sincere mind also means pure and wholesome. This sincere, this pure, wholesome mind is your mind in Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, you have the mind of Christ. So you should be concerned with manifesting the mind of Christ, thinking with the mind of Christ, remembering with the mind of Christ. And the Spirit stirs you up to apply the ways of Christ in all of this. Now, there are two main ones here. The word spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. Peter said this is his second letter that this stirring reminder comes in. So looking over at 1 Peter, you can see the original statements that he's pointing to. They're in 1 Peter 4, 7 through 8. And at 1 Peter 4, 7, you see those words of the holy prophets. He wrote there that the end of all things is near. So be of sound judgment and sober in spirit for the purpose of prayer. Now, on this particular alert and urging about the end being near for the first century Christians, when it came to end times teaching, back then they expected the prophecies to be fulfilled in their own day. You got to know this. See, they had the prophecies, but not the timing. And there were prophecies that were fulfilled in their days, but they didn't know when everything was going to be fulfilled. Jesus said in Mark 13, "No one knows that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor himself, but only the Father alone." So those were the words spoken by the prophets that needed to be remembered, that Peter's right about. And then in the next verse, it's 1 Peter 4, 8. That's what he's reminding, that's what he's pointing back to. The commandment of the Lord and Savior is mentioned. Now, it's not called the commandment. It describes what the commandment is for you to do. And it is keep fervent in your love for one another because love covers a multitude of sins. It's a beautiful statement. And that's because love is the most beautiful thing. And so, yeah, you are actually commanded to do it. You're commanded to love. The commandment of the Lord and Savior is love. And that's what you need to remember for all you do. Jesus gave it moments before he went to the cross to establish the new covenant. In John 13, 34 through 35, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. People will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Well, that night, getting closer to the hour that he's going to be crucified and establishing the new covenant, just hours in front of him, he says it again in John 15, 12 through 14, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you." Adding, "Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." You are my friends if you do what I command you, meaning you're my friends if you manifest my love ways. And then also, Jesus literally fulfilled his commandment by expressing the greater love by laying his life down for sinners he saves, making them his friends in the process. We were made into friends of Christ Jesus in salvation. Before that, we were enemies. And so Peter tells you to remember the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. So the Savior gave it, Jesus gave it, and the apostles taught about it. And one of the most direct phrases to match the words of Jesus, they're from the Apostle Paul saying in Ephesians 5:12, "Walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us." That's a matched repeat of the great command. Over and over, you're urged to walk in the commandment. John, who was there that night when Jesus actually gave the commandment, he was a disciple at the time. Later, John became an apostle, and he introduced 2 John 1:6, saying, "This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you've heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it." And so, like here in 2 Peter, you know, it's sometimes simply called the commandment. John there in 2 John 5:5 said, "I'm not writing a new commandment, but the one which we had from the beginning, that we love one another." And it's existed from the beginning of the new covenant foundation when Jesus established it in his final instructions as he went to establish the new covenant in his blood. The Apostle John wrote about its importance in 1 John 4, 7 through 8, 16, 19 through 21. It's like this: "Love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in that person. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, 'I love God,' but hates their supposed brother or sister in Christ, that person's a liar. Since the one who does not love a true brother and sister in Christ they've seen cannot love God whom they've not seen. We have this commandment from him," John says, "that the one who loves God must love his brother and sister also." Another apostle, Paul, also referred to it. He said in 1 Timothy 6, 13 through 14, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, keep the commandment without stain or reproach." Paul also called the commandment the law of Christ. You know, the depth of it comes out in Galatians 5:13, 22, and 6:22, the law of Christ. It says, "Through love, serve one another." Think about that. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Wow, well, that's your law to obey, to do. That law covers everything. It's love as life. In 1 Corinthians 9, 20 through 21, Paul said he was not under the old covenant law of God, but he said he was not without God's law, that he was now inlawed into the law of Christ, which is the law of the new covenant. We're remembering the apostles. See? James, the half-brother of Jesus, referred to it in James 1, 25 through 212. And like Peter, James said, you need to remember it. James said, "Look intently at the perfect law." That's what it's called. "The law of liberty, and abide by it." So he calls it the perfect law, the law of liberty. And he says, abide by it. "Not being a forgetful hearer," in other words, you're a rememberer, "but an effectual doer in what you remember, and you will be blessed in what you do." Very interesting. He calls it the perfect law, the law of liberty. calls it the king's law, the royal king's law. He said in 2:8, if you are fulfilling the king's law, according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing well. Well, the old covenant law, as scriptural record, shows the command to love, not as Christ loves, but as you love yourself. So it's interesting that James has that. So how is you shall love your neighbor as yourself a way of fulfilling Christ Jesus, the king's law, the royal law? Well, you do it by loving your neighbor, very important, as your redeemed self loves the new you in Christ. Make that distinction. It's very important. You do it by loving your neighbor as your redeemed self loves the new you in Christ. You love them that way. Love them as you love yourself being in Christ with Christ in you. Okay? Seek to love them in the new covenant way, the way that Christ loves you in his special grace relationship, and you're a temple of the Holy Spirit and he indwells you. James also said at 2:12 and 4:11, speak and act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. He said in 4:11 through 12, do not speak evil against one another. Follow the details of everything that we're remembering from the apostles. He says, the one who speaks against a brother or sister in Christ or judges his brother or sister in Christ speaks against the royal law, the kingly law of liberty, and judges the royal law of liberty. And so James said, but if you judge the royal law of liberty, you're not a doer of the royal law of liberty, but you're a judge of it. There's only one lawgiver and judge, the one who's able to save and to destroy. But who are you who judge your neighbor? So what do we have? We have love your neighbor. Judge your neighbor is what you do that's the opposite. And so the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles is all through the New Testament. And we must remember it. And remembering the word spoken beforehand by the holy prophets, actually, that helps us to remember the commandment. Yes, there are end times words spoken by the holy prophets. End time stuff. Eschatology, it's called. But prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah, listen to me, they prophesied many things, but they also prophesied the coming of Christ's new covenant love law. They prophesied it. It was prophesied to come in Isaiah 42, 1 through 6. In the prophecy there about Christ, it says, behold, my servant whom I uphold. That's talking about Jesus. 700 years before Jesus came. He says, my chosen one in whom my soul delights, I put my spirit upon him. And the coastlands will wait expectantly for his law. It's the law of Christ. It's the law. And then the prophecy goes on concerning Jesus saying, I am Yahweh, I have called you. Speaking of Jesus, the Messiah, Christ, in righteousness, I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you. And I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations. Jesus Christ is the covenant. And he's the covenant light. And his law that was prophetically waited for, it's arrived. This is what the apostles teach. And now the coastlands are filled with people who have become children of God in Christ in the new covenant light. Another prophet, Jeremiah, he also foretold it. The writer of Hebrews quoted Jeremiah on it. In Hebrews 7 and 8, it says that when the new covenant was instituted, the old covenant was made obsolete. And it says there, that there was also by necessity a change of law. And so the Mosaic law priesthood then, because of this necessity and this obsolete of the old, that making the old law obsolete, the priesthood also had to change, and it was changed in Christ. And the change of law then accompanied the change of the priesthood. And so it says there in the new covenant, quoting Jeremiah 31:33, that God, this is all of us, God writes his new covenant law on the minds and hearts of Christians. That's what God has done to you in salvation. Salvation is more than a decision, okay? It is a supernatural transformation. And God is actively doing things with you. Like the Holy Spirit lives in you. He writes things on your heart. He moves you. He guides you. This is our relationship. And so the Christian love mandate is written on your heart. It's there. Every saved person has it. That's what we were reading about in John. If you don't, you're not a Christian. And so when you receive Christ Jesus as your Savior by grace through faith, God spiritually saves you, writing his love on your heart by his Spirit with his word. So And going through this layout, what we're doing is what we're told to do. We are remembering the commandment of the Lord. And so you know what it is, and you know what to do. Love your brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ Jesus, the way Christ Jesus loves you. Christian love was given to you by the Spirit. It's in you as two things, both an ability and as a motivation. Don't ever think that it's not there. It's in you as both an ability and as a motivation. And you know this because you love Christ, right? And you love Christians, and you love Christianity. Unsaved people don't love those. You see, all spiritually saved people do. And so what you're doing is you're remembering, but you're remembering for a reason. Remembering the commandment at all times is meant to stir yourself up to act it out. Now, think about love deeds which fulfill the commandment. And then here's how easy it is. You take the steps to do what you are remembering. Remember the commandment in all situations. So you're going along. And you might be tempted to be selfish. I'm tempted to be selfish all the time. And you know you can be selfish, right? You're honest right now, right? You know you can be selfish. It's the same for all of us. But a situation may arise and your selfishness touches more than you. Okay? And in your selfishness, you affect other people. And it's all about what you want to do to satisfy yourself. But something about it ends up wronging other people. Now, others may not know that you're wronging someone, but God knows. In fact, the people you wrong through your selfishness, they might not even realize that you're wronging them. But God knows. And the voice of the Holy Spirit lets you know. So when something like that comes along, remember the commandment. And if you're trying to figure out what to do, obey the commandment. You see, love overrides self-oriented thoughts. Those thoughts that are trying to push you to do whatever it is that you're going to do to please yourself alone. And so by obeying the commandment, you've avoided multitudes of wrongs. You've avoided disobedience to God. You've avoided treating others with the lack of love that God says should be your way anyway. So always obey love, Christian love. This, by the way, is your calling. And so think of your calling being Romans 13:10. The apostle tells you straight out, the apostle. Okay, we're remembering the words. We're remembering the words of the apostle. He says, love does no wrong to a neighbor. So there you are. Remember that. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. And so then you're going along and you think you're doing fine as a Christian. And then you find out about the needs of the Christians that God has in your life. You know, all your acquaintances in life are divine appointments, every single one of them. You got to know that. And you know who God's divine appointments are. If not, just open your eyes. I mean, quit being spiritually immature. Look around you and see what God sees. Even here, right now. Do the eyes of the Lord and you're going to be made aware of needs. Now remember what the apostle spoke to you in Galatians 5:13 and there was 22 and there's 6:22. 5:22 and 6:22. You know what it is. Through love, serve one another. As you do, you're bearing the love that is fruit from the Holy Spirit using you. And you're bearing other people's burdens. Well, so you think, how far do I go with this? Well, remember, the apostle said, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Fully fill the law of Christ. Bearing the burdens of others is how far. It doesn't say stop, right? A helping hand is a working hand. It can be prayer. It takes love effort to pray. It can be a physical help that takes love effort to do. It might be financial help. You know, it takes love effort to give. Could be helpful counsel of some kind. Obey love by doing something. Try to fully fill up the law of Christ to where it's overflowing. You can't love too much, but you can love too little. So love in such a way that it overflows, that it's just going and going. But you might find that you don't want to be bothered. Going along, and that's just the way it is. I just don't want to be bothered. Or you might find that you don't like a particular Christian brother or sister. Yeah. Think about it. Might be some Christian out there that you don't particularly like very much. Just be honest. Maybe they offended you. And so that's what you're saying is the reason why. 1 Corinthians 6:7 tells you the love route, asking, why not rather be wronged? Maybe their personality grates on your nerves. Whatever it is, God's word, God's commandment is confronting you, right? And God's telling you, you're not remembering the commandment like you should. You're not recognizing those people the way God recognizes you, which is how. Let's get serious. Let's get real. You are a messed up sinner in need of grace, forgiveness, and long suffering. Just like me. Just like all of us. And yet, the Lord loves you. I mean, we sang a song this morning about the Lord's love that it's just amazing. And here's what the Lord wants to do. He wants to love other people through you. He wants you to be his hands and feet of reaching out and obeying the commandment and loving. So go forward remembering the apostles' words in Romans 12, 9 through 10. Don't be a hypocrite with love. Be devoted to one another in love. Give preference to one another in love. Ephesians 4, 1 through 2 tells you, we are remembering right now, tells you, walk in a manner worthy of your calling. With all humility and gentleness and patience, show tolerance for one another in love. We're remembering. We're remembering the commandment. This is what you do. And then as you love, you still might be wondering, when is enough? You know, that kind of question comes because we get weary. I mean, you love and you love and you love. Is it a little? Is it a lot? You don't know. Remember the apostles' words in Romans 13, 8. You should always owe love to others. Isn't that interesting? Owing it means that you can never fully pay back love to people. It means keep on giving and giving love like you're always in some kind of a love debt. It means keep giving love like you are eagerly trying to pay back a love debt to others till you die. This is your ambition. This is what you're doing. It means not forgetting the commandment. The apostle says in 1 Corinthians 14:1 and 16:14, pursue love. That's interesting. Let all that you do be done in love. Wow. That sums up so much. Pursue love. Let all that you do be done in love. I mean, you're never called to rest from love. Even when love is sometimes so difficult, so hard, that it does wear you out. Even when it hurts to love. That's what Jesus did. Pursue means chase after the love way. God always wants you to remember that he helps you, by the way, to obey what he wants. He's always empowering. He's always strengthening. He always helps us. See, he makes sure that you are empowered to fulfill your calling. And he empowers you to pursue love each moment, to run after it, to be love to others in all you do as your goal, as your ambition. It is his commandment, and it is his gift. And so unwrap it in the way that you think about your parents. Your parents. He's enabled you to do it. Unwrap it in the way that you treat your spouse. You know, spouses can get on each other's nerves. Unwrap love. And bitterness is a lame excuse to try to hold back love. Pride is just as big of a lying enemy as bitterness. See, God has empowered you to love in your relationships, even the broken ones. And it's more than empowered. He commands you to do it. God has commanded you. He's empowered you to love when you're not even going to get recognition for it. When you won't get personal benefits from it. When you don't naturally want to do something like give. You know, spending time that you want to use for something else. Dealing with dramas that you don't want to deal with. God has empowered you to go the love way when dealing with sin. Peter, who said to remember the commandment of Christ spoken by the apostles, is an apostle, and he echoed it in 1 Peter 4:8. I read this earlier saying, above everything, interesting, above everything, be fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. That's your mandate. That's your calling. When you fervently love above all, Peter said, above all, your fervent love, your reckless abandoned love, is like a peace covering of grace that's neutralizing your imperfect, offensive, sinning, hurting neighbor. You're applying grace to others. And as you do, you're reflecting Christ Jesus. And he covers all your multitudes of sins in his love, doesn't he? Well, that's what the scripture says, and you better believe that. So you're acting like your Savior. That's what we do with this. And he fully filled up his own commandment as both the standard for it and the necessity in it. Now, what we're doing is we continue as the body of Christ on earth, fulfilling the rest of his love ways that he wants to keep manifesting through us. We are the ones called to do this in the world. So fulfill your calling. This is the Lord, his word. The remembering is him speaking to us. Even when it comes to things like doctrinal disagreements that exist by the millions, by the way, doctrinal disagreements. Remember the commandment. Sooner or later, you're going to find that every Christian, no matter who, is not going to agree in some area, in some way. It might be a small opinion. It might be a slightly different view. But the difference is there. And you're encountering something like that, you might not know what to do. Well, govern your opinion, first and foremost, with love. Govern what you think is discernment with love. Remember Romans 14:1. Accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. Well, maybe you do want to say something. You know, you feel compelled. I got to say something. Well, remember the apostle who sought to fulfill the law of Christ when he said in 1 Timothy 1:5, the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. The goal of your instruction needs to be love. Keep the goal that. Remember the apostle's way of fulfillment in 1 Peter 3:15. It says, always be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account of the hope that's in you. But it says how? It's a love way. It says, but do it with gentleness and reverence. See, when you respond to people or even teach with gentleness and reverence, what's happening is that love is reaching out and it's gently taking hold of the hand of someone's spirit. It's a gentle, loving hand. You know, your words and your points, they're covered with that soft blanket of love, the same love that covers a multitude of sins. But if you do it without love, your words are covered with spikes and poison that's just damaging your message. They're not hearing you. People are so pierced by your caustic way that they can't hear the real substance of anything that you're trying to say. And your apostle prayed in Philippians 1:9, remember the commandment that the apostles teach. Philippians 1:9. That your love, it's a prayer, will abound more and more in accordance with real knowledge and all discernment. Meaning, you're called to become an expert in love. On applying it everywhere. And on applying it well and excellently. So it was a prayer. That was a prayer. So let's do that too. Pray that you will always remember the commandment. Pray that keeping it will abound more and more in accordance with real knowledge and all discernment. Make that your prayer too. And if you have a problem with someone, pray in love. Pray that your love for them will abound more and more in accordance with real knowledge and all discernment. You know, the blessing that Paul spoke in 1 Thessalonians 5:12 is, may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people, just as we apostles also do for you. Well, then make that your love prayer. That the Lord will cause you to increase and abound in love for whoever it is, and also all people, just as the apostles love those that they minister to. This is the remembering. Are you looking for some new kind of deep spiritual insight? I was talking to somebody about this morning. Some deep, new spiritual insight? Some great, amazing doctrinal revelation? Well, remember the commandment, and you've arrived. There is no higher call than to manifest the love of Christ. There is no greater memory than the command to do it. So remember and govern all you do with Christian love. Amen.